Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up your hands and let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We are so delighted to be here today. We ask that you will bless us mightily. In the glorious name of Jesus, and we pray with thanksgiving. And let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Give Jesus another mighty hand clap. And you may be seated. It's good to see all of you again. And this morning, I want to continue with my sermon titled, Passion for God and His House. And this is the third part of the series. Please turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 3. And I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Lift up your hand and say, God has lavished his love upon me. Romans chapter 8, verse
38-39.
King James Version. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tell your neighbor, nothing can separate me from the love of God. One more scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18-19, New Living Translation.
Oh, New Living Translation.
It is always good to have different versions of the Bible.
Yes, we can Bible.
And in these three readings, we've looked at different translations. So it says here, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people show, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Tell somebody, God's love is a crazy love. It's so high, I can't get over it. It's so low, I can't get under it. It's so wide that I can't get around it. What a wonderful love. Clap and celebrate the amazing love of God for us. Now, is there anybody here today who doubts that God loves us? Is there anybody here like that? There's nobody like that. That means that all of us believe that God actually loves us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I think that we know that God loves us. But our challenge is that we do not understand how much He loves us. And we don't understand that God loves us passionately. That means with a strong and extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, and desire. So you believe that God loves you. But you are yet to appreciate the extent to which He loves you. And in all the three scriptures I read at the very beginning, we get a glimpse into the magnitude of God's love for us. The truth is that we will never fully understand it because of how huge that love is. And that love is a passionate love. So in the first scripture, 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." That defines passionate love. Because love that is passionate is love that is extravagant. And when you love somebody passionately, you lavish a lot of things upon the person. If you are with somebody who claims to love you and doesn't lavish love on you, question the size of his love or her love for you. He has to demonstrate his love. She has to demonstrate her love. Every time rice and stew and meat slapped on top of the rice, the food is always burnt. And her explanation is that I'm treating you like a god and giving you a burnt offering. No, you gotta show your love. Tell the person sitting by you, if you love me, show your love. Because the Bible says we should not love in word only, but we should love in deed. You cannot remember the last time he bought a nice gift for you. What kind of love is this? And every time it's your birthday, it's a scarf that he buys for you. Scarf?
Aduku.
So when you go into your wardrobe, there are scarves of different colors. The only variation is the color and the pattern in the scarf. Deep love and passionate love is love that lavishes things upon a person. Then in the second scripture, Romans 8:38-39, it says nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Passionate love is love that is resolute. And it's like nothing can take it away. When somebody loves you passionately, it's like nothing can take that thing away. And that is the love that God has for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then in the other scripture in Ephesians
3,
just to let us understand how passionate God's love is for us, the Bible says we should pray that we'll understand the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's love. So that again is passionate love. Now, just as God loves us passionately, and he's passionate about us, he is expecting us also to love him passionately and to be passionate about him, passionate about the things of God, passionate about the house of God, passionate about the work of God, and passionate about the people of God.
I think
that it's a very painful thing when you're passionate about somebody and you don't get a reciprocal response. So you yourself has come and you have composed a love message and WhatsApped it to the person. And the person's response is, "Hey, your love has come, Papa."
And then the person says, "Hey, what don't I say here?"
And says, "And yeah, boy, yeah." That's the only response you are getting. Then there's some people, as you are explaining how much you love them, you said a lot of things. I love you more than Romeo loved Juliet. You are the only CPU of my monitor. You are the only mosquito in my net. Well, as you are saying all this, the person's response is, thank you. Thank you. Just that. I think it's a very painful thing. And that is the pain we cause God when we are not passionate about him. Passionate about the things of God and everything concerning him. So he's expecting us to be passionate. And Jesus Christ, who is our best example, had a lot of passion for God, for the house of God, and for the things of God. And you and I must seek to be passionate about God, about the house of God, about the things of God, etc. But why is it important to have passion? And I started taking you through that. Now, passion is important, number one, because passion is like the fuel that drives and motivates you in anything you set out to achieve. And the truth is, anything that you're doing, if you don't have passion, you are likely to give up. Especially when you meet certain difficulties and challenges along the
way.
Jacob loved Rahel.
Jacob or Rahel,
and he worked for 14 years just to be able to get married to
her.
If that love wasn't deep, if that love wasn't passionate, you'd have given up. And I told you last week that where passion is, even hard work begins to feel like play. And hard work may actually come with a lot of pleasure. And I gave you a hint last week that If you want to find out what your life's work really is, find out what it is that gives you a lot of pleasure and fulfillment and satisfaction. That is most likely your life's work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second reason why passion is important. And of course, everything that I'm saying is in relation to passion for God, for His house, and for the things of God. But the truths being expressed here can relate to different areas of life. Now, passion is important because it gives you direction and a sense of purpose. Passion gives you direction and a sense of purpose. Look at John 4:34. It's one of the foundational scriptures for this series. John 4:34. From the Amplified Bible. Jesus said to them, "My food, nourishment, is to do the will, pleasure of Him who sent me." And to accomplish and completely finish His work. So Jesus was describing what sustains Him, what drives Him, that has to do with passion. And that passion gave Him a sense of direction and a sense of purpose. And that's why He could talk about accomplishing and finishing the assignment that the Father had given to Him. So His passion gave Him that sense of direction. So actually, what you are passionate about actually guides and directs you through this life. So when you see somebody who is passionate about politics, for example, you can see how that passion drives him. And the things he is prepared to do because of where his passion is. So passion is important because it gives you direction and a sense of purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
The third reason why passion is important is because passion is infectious. Passion is infectious. It can actually inspire others to believe in your venture. So when you are passionate about what you're
doing,
it attracts certain people to you. And the reason why they line up with you is they can sense your passion about what you're doing. Because people are looking for something that will give them purpose in life. And they are drawn to people who seem to have that. And they can see that they have that because of the passion that is driving them. Look with me at Matthew 4:17-22. New Living Translation, if you don't mind. Matthew 4:17-22. It says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. So they also were fishermen. And the Bible says, "And he called them to come too." And immediately they followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Hallelujah. Now, you think deeply about this. And I want you to picture the scene. So here they were, Peter and Andrew. They were fishermen. They were catching fish. Then somebody appears and says, "Stop what you are doing and come and follow me." And immediately they left everything that they were doing. Does that make sense to you? Something must have convinced them to take such a radical decision for their life. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't interrogate the issue. They just responded. And something that they had done all their lives, or at least when they started working, they abandoned that thing to follow somebody just like that. It ain't normal. Similar situation with John and James. You work with your father in the Zebedee Fishing Company.
Oh no, Papa, Zebedee mo ye adwuma o mkudum.
Then somebody just appears and says, "Leave your father.
Obi ba ya os muja muja papa hono
and follow me and come and work for me." And immediately they left everything. They abandoned their father la and followed this man. Does it make sense to you? Something must have driven them. And I want to submit to you that they must have heard about this Jesus. They must have seen certain things about him. Because in the verse 17, the Bible says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach." So I don't think that he was a total stranger to them. They must have heard about him. They must have heard about his preaching. They must have heard about the miracles that he did. And I believe that they must have seen something about him that drew them to him, so that without questioning anything, they just decided to follow him. I tell you, when you are passionate about something that you're doing, there's a certain caliber of people that you will draw and that you will attract. And perhaps the reason why we don't have a lot of people following us to church is they can see that we don't have any passion for God. The reason why when we talk to people about Christ, their only response is, "I see." But that's all they say. They don't follow you and come to Christ. It could be that they cannot see the passion in what you're doing. Have you ever asked yourself, why are there... you hear... read stories about suicide bombers, people who are prepared to kill themselves for what they believe in. And And I hear there are a lot of people lined up to do things like that. There's something that drives them. And they are prepared to follow certain people to do certain things because they can see the passion that those guys have for the things that they want to do. So I'm telling you that our lack of passion about God, about the things of God, about the house of God, about the work of God, about the people of God, may be the reason why we are not able to have a lot of converts. Because where there is a lot of passion, it is infectious. And it has a way of drawing others to you. Tell the person sitting by you, it looks like the pastor is saying something that is chewing you. Then ask the person, so what are you going to do about it? I think that a lot of us Christians of today are like lame ducks. There's very little about us that draws others. There's very little about us that attracts others. And that is the reason why what is actually happening today, if I take Ghana as an example, is that even though Ghana has a very large Christian population, if you check the statistics over the years, you will actually discover that the Christian faith has stagnated. Christianity is not growing at a certain rate in Ghana. But check with our brothers from the other side. But you know Yanom. Yeah. Check. You find that, that over the last few years, they are growing steadily. We have stayed at 71% for many years. But our brothers from the other side,
so,
every year there's an increase. Because there are also those who, there's that percentage of people who have not committed to anything. And they are able to convince such people to follow them. Yeah. So there is a serious problem. And I'm telling you that one of the reasons for this unfortunate situation is that we are not passionate about what we are doing. Coming to church is a struggle for you. Doing anything for God is a burden for you. It's like we have to wind you up before you do certain things. I tell you, there's a problem. Oh. And the problem is the passion in all day. Because remember what passion is. It's a strong, extravagant liking or enthusiasm or desire for something or for somebody or for a cause. That is what passion is. So we got to be truthful with ourselves. Do we have it? Do we? Do we have it for God? Do we have it for the things of God? Do we have it for the house of God? Do we have it for the work of God? Everybody will have to answer for himself or herself. The fourth reason why passion is important is that relationships thrive better where there is a good level of passion attached. Relationships thrive better where there is a good level of passion attached. So think about different levels of relationships. Marital relationship. Relationship among friends. Work relationships. The ones that do better are the ones where there is a certain level of passion attached. I mean, if you take marriage, for example, how many know that marriage is a lot of hard work? Only a few of you know. All right. And those of you who are coming, you will know. You think that it's all about the white gown and a veil and a crown. And white shoes. And walking down the aisle. And having 20 groomsmen. Or bridegrooms. You have 20 of them. 10 groomsmen, 10 bridesmaids. And you are marching into the house of God. And you are doing dancing formation. Dancing to King Palute's song. Is that the name of the guy? I went for a wedding. And this was the song that was raised. And I watched them as they were singing. And the bride, my beloved daughter in the choir, the way she knew the song, and they were dancing. I said, "Hey, people know a lot of things. You think that that is all there is to it?" You made me laugh, my crazy laugh. It's a lot of hard work. And many times, if there is no passion, you will tell yourself along the line that I'm tired of this nonsense. I'm out. Have you heard me say before that if you are not prepared to accommodate nonsense, don't marry? Abel, I like the way you raised your hand. You've heard me say it many times. Successful marriages come with a strong ability to tolerate bien. To tolerate bien, bien moi. Yeah. I tell you. Anyway. So relationships that thrive better. And talk about even work relationships. If you are working with people who are not passionate about what they are doing, and especially when it's your own business, you would be very frustrated. You have a school that you are passionate about, and you've ended up with a bunch of people. The passion that you have for the school, they don't have even 1% of the passion that you have. If the Lord does not intervene, they will run the school completely down. Because they are not passionate about what you are passionate about. You have a hairdressing saloon. You have apprentices. As you have poured your entire life into what you are doing, to them, it means nothing. Watch the way they even use the appliances. Watch the way they treat the clients, the customers that come. As you've spent a lot of money to open a provision shop.
What be a provision shop, baby?
When you are there, customers are very happy. When you are not there, they don't like to come to the shop. Because you have employed people. Their faces are like clouds. Talk to people anyway, anyhow. They don't have any passion for what they are doing. They don't have a certain ownership mentality. So I've come to see that different levels of relationships only thrive better when there's a strong dimension of passion attached to what you're doing. So critically scrutinize the people who work for you. Those you discover don't have passion for what they are doing, please sack them. What must you do? Sack them. I said, do what? Sack them before they run the business down. I'm saying, hey, pastor, what are you doing? People's livelihood. You do Father Christmas with your business. You wake up one day and discover because of the passionless people who work for you, the whole thing has ground to a halt. The fifth reason why passion is important is that passion can lead to personal fulfillment, happiness, and satisfaction. Passion can lead to personal fulfillment, happiness, and satisfaction. It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ when he had to come and pay the price for our salvation. And one of the reasons he persisted, even though it was so difficult for him, was his passion for what he had been sent to do. But I believe that he could endure and press on because he knew that there was a certain joy that awaited him. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him. Because of the joy awaiting him. He did not go through an easy time, but his passion kept him on course. And he knew that there was a certain joy and fulfillment awaiting him. So he didn't call it quits. He pressed on. That is his passion. Look at the Apostle Paul also. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. Then he says to the church in Philippi, I love you and I long to see you. That's passion. Then he goes on and says, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. In essence, what we can glean from this is that Paul was passionate about the people that God had sent him to. Paul Now, even though it was very hard for him and he went through a lot of difficulties just to be able to preach the gospel, the passion he had for God, for the people of God, for the things of God, drove him. And he knew that there was a certain joy that he was going to find at the end of the day. And so, ladies and gentlemen, your passion can result in personal fulfillment, happiness, and satisfaction. Oh, may God stir up strong passion in our hearts from this day. Passion for Him, passion for the people of God, passion for the house of God, passion for the things of God. And you see, we must be honest with ourselves. Each and every one of us. And that is what this message really is calling on us to do. All of us without exception. To begin to question how passionate we are about God. About the house of God. About the things of God. About the people of God. About the work of God. Now, don't tell me that I don't have passion for anything. It is not true. Because there are things that you are passionate about. Sometimes when I watch football and I see elderly men, bare-chested, with very huge stomachs that are threatening to burst, at a stadium, shouting and dancing and supporting Manchester United. Say that again. Disappointing team. After church, come and see me. Does somebody sell yogurt around? Please get him one yogurt for that powerful revelation he just gave. You should see them. Sometimes I look at them. If you look at the person's face, you can never imagine that such a person would be sitting at the stadium. He's stripped to the barest and he's just shouting and screaming and trying to shake the hands of the players after they've scored a goal. Passionate. People, there are things that people are passionate about. And there are things that turn you on.
People also in a show.
That's the truth. That is the truth. There are things that we are passionate about. But when it comes to God, the house of God, the things of God, then it's like there's no passion at all. And it pains God. It really pains Him. Because He's loved us with an everlasting love. It's not a 2x4 love.
It's a 2x4.
Costly. Very expensive. It cost Him His only begotten Son. He had to watch that son suffering. Humiliated. Abused by the people he came to save. Tortured to the point that he could no longer be recognized. The Bible says that there was no form of comeliness around him that we could desire him. But what made God go through with this? And what made Jesus decide that I would do this for these people? Remember that He was the Son of God. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man. And the fact that He had become a man did not mean that He had lost His divinity. And He knew what He was going to go through. How many of you, if you are going somewhere, you know that people are going to humiliate you, insult you, beat you, torture you, you still go to that place? How many of you would do something like that? but not Jesus. When he saw death and humiliation and shame coming, he went to meet it. The truth actually is that at the point he didn't want to. That's what played out in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why he tried to negotiate with the Father. Charlie, can we change the plan? Can we change the redemption plan? Because what they await me, you know, Charlie, it'd be too wild. The people he created, he was going to end up in their power. And we are very wicked. It's there. It came with the same thing. It's there. Uh-huh. Can't tell from what we do to others. But God loved us. With a lot of passion. And that's why the redemption plan wasn't changed. And the love wherewith he has loved us, it's a strong, passionate love. But for a long time, he's been longing for a certain kind of response from us. And he's not getting it. When there's something to do for him, we hold back. So you tell people, let's gather this Saturday, assembly by assembly. Let's go and do outreach and evangelism and win souls for the Lord. And they don't come. To come from where you live, to join in an effort to win souls, you can't do it. But Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth. Because there's no passion. It's a struggle to get people to do things in the house of the Lord. Because there's no passion about the work of God. You look at the numbers seated here today. Then you ask, how many people are actively, practically involved in the work of God? We are looking for people to sing for the Lord. We are looking for people to help out with the media team. It's such a struggle. Such a struggle. And to build the house of God, it's only a few people who give at a certain level for us to be able to build the house of God. Because when you are passionate about the house of God, your giving is at a sacrificial level. And it's an indication of your passion for the house of God. So as I continue with the signs and the symptoms of passion, the things that you should look out in yourself to convince you that you are a person of passion, you'll discover that one of them is how much of yourself, how much of your resources, how much of your strength you are prepared to put into building God's house. Have you heard a scripture before? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The converse is also true. For where your heart is, there we will find what you treasure. Where you pump your money, where you invest most of your resources, your time and your energy, is an indication of where your heart is. So do this assessment for yourself. My time, my strength, my resources, where is most of it channeled? It will tell you something. It will tell you something very revealing. And it will show you where your passion is. where your heart really is. So the issue is not that you are a passionless person. The issue is where you have chosen to direct your affections. And when it comes to God and the things of God and the house of God, it's as though you don't have feelings at all. It's painful.
Yeah, yeah.
And we cause the father pain and grief all the time. Because he can't see any serious effort on our part to truly commit to him, to building his house, to working for him, and to serve him. So when it comes to him, we draw back. When it comes to other things, ourself comes. And it hurts. So we break the father's heart all the time. He looks at us. These guys have very some way. They don't have any feelings for me. They don't. I see, that's why you'll be surprised at some of the people that God actually likes. People that you won't choose. People that you won't regard. Bible says he has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. But there are some people that we just scorn and disregard. But God values them. People with problems and with issues. Is it that God condones their issues and their problems? There are disappointments that you'll encounter. But never ever forget that your service is actually to him. That's the mistake that we make. We forget that our service is to him. And he's the one with whom we have to do. So no matter what disappointments you meet or what bad stories you hear, it should never affect your commitment to God and your support of his house. That's why you must always get things in the right perspective and keep your focus on Jesus. We must always look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, it's time to close. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Lift up your hands. Father, we are thankful to you today. Thank you that your word is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That it's able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the bones and marrow. Thank you that your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Thank you, Father, that your word is like a mirror, the perfect law of liberty. That when we look into it, and we do so sincerely, without a veil, we see ourselves as we really are. And Father, we've taken a look at ourselves through your word, the mirror of your word. And we don't like what we see. What we see is not the best. There are too many defects. And you are the only one who can help us. We can see that our love for you is limited. That the passion with which you have loved us has not been reciprocated by us. We complain. We always have something negative to say. We lament that you've not been good to us. We murmur. We say bad things. We reject you. we withhold our best from you. Father, that's what we do. And we ask today that you forgive us. Have mercy on us and forgive us. And help us to have passion for you, for your house, and for the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. Maybe somebody invited you to church. You may be watching. You may have stumbled upon this broadcast. But you've never responded to this deep love of God for you. You're not born again. But today, there's an opportunity for you to open your heart to Jesus, so allow him access into your life so that he will make your life brand new. I'll be very happy to pray with you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, please lift up your right hand. You may be watching this broadcast, but wherever you are, lift up your hand. I cannot see you, but God can see you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, please pray this prayer with me, but pray it in faith from the bottom of your heart. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus." Say that again. "Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will live for you. I'll even die for you. Please write my name in the book of life, because I believe in you, that you are the Son of God, that you came to die for me, that you rose again after the third day, that you are alive, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through you. Today, I have been added to the family of God. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.